ಈಗ ರಂಗನಾಥ ದಂಪತಿಗಳು, ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಶುಭಾ ಮತ್ತು ಶ್ರೀ ರಂಗನಾಥ ದಂಪತಿಗಳು ಬಂದು ಶ್ರೀಗಳವರಿಂದ ಮನಮಂತ್ರಾಷ್ಟ್ರ ಸ್ವೀಕಾರ. ಈಗ ಹಿರಿಯ ವಿದ್ವಾಂಸರಾದಂತಹ ಶ್ರೀ ವಟ್ಟಂಗಾಡು ಹರಿಯಾಚಾರ್ಯರಿಗೆ ಇಬ್ಬರು ಮಹರಿಯಿಂದ ಕೂಡ ಸನ್ಮಾನ. ಈಗ ಪೂಜ್ಯ ಆಚಾರ್ಯರು ಬಂದು ಅಥವಾ ಅಲ್ಲೇ ಹೋಗಬೇಕು, ಅವರಿದ್ದಲ್ಲೇ ಸನ್ಮಾನವನ್ನು ಮಾಡೋ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಥೆ ಆಗ್ತಾ ಇದೆ. ಪೂಜ್ಯ ಆಚಾರ್ಯರಿಗೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟಂತಹ ಪ್ರಶಸ್ತಿಯ ಒಕ್ಕಣೆ ಹೀಗಿದೆ: ನ್ಯಾಯ, ವೇದಾಂತ, ವ್ಯಾಕರಣ ಮೊದಲಾದ ಸತ್ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಪಾರಂಗತರು, ಸುಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧ ಯಾಜ್ಞಿಕರು, ಮಧ್ವಶಾಸ್ತ್ರೈಕ ಪ್ರಾಣರು, ವೇದೇತಿಹಾಸ ಪುರಾಣಾದಿ ಕೋವಿದರು, ಪಾಠಪ್ರವಚನ ಕುಶಲರು, ಅನ್ನದಾನ ಜ್ಞಾನದಾನಾದಿ ಸತ್ಕಾರ್ಯ ನಿರತರೂ ಆದ ಶ್ರೀ ವಟ್ಟಂಗಾಡ್ ಹರಿಯಾಚಾರ್ಯರಿಗೆ ಗೌರವಪೂರ್ವಕ ಸಮರ್ಪಿಸಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ವ್ಯಾಸಮಧ್ವ ಸೇವಾ ಪ್ರಶಸ್ತಿ ಇದು ಅವರಿಗೆ. ಇದರ ಜೊತೆಗೆ 10,000 ರೂಪಾಯಿಗಳ ಸಂಭಾವನೆ ಕೂಡ ಅವರಿಗೆ ಕೊಡಲಾಗಿದೆ. ಅದೆಲ್ಲರ ಜವಾಬ್ದಾರಿ ಹೇಳಿದಂತೆ ರಂಗನಾಥ್ ಅವರು. ಈಗ ಸನ್ಮಾನ್ಯ ನ್ಯಾಯಮೂರ್ತಿಗಳಾದ ಪದ್ಮವಿಭೂಷಣ ಶ್ರೀ ಎಂ ಎನ್ ವೆಂಕಟಾಚಲಯ್ಯ ಅವರಿಂದ ಮುಖ್ಯ ಅತಿಥಿಗಳಾಗಿ ಭಾಷಣವನ್ನು ನೀಡಬೇಕು ಅಂತ ಕೇಳ್ಕೊಳ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೆ. ಆಮೇಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಗಳ ಅಧ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಭಾಷಣ ಆಮೇಲೆ ಇರುತ್ತೆ.
Your Holiness, accept my reverential prostrations. I also offer my pranams to Vidwan Prabhanjanacharya. I have spent all my time working life in law. It was my great good fortune that one of my officers at the judiciary gave me the great privilege of taking me to an acharya. I went there somewhat reluctantly, but that started perhaps for myself speaking in a humble, modest way, a change in my outlook towards myself. He was a Haridas, and our discussions started somewhat uncomfortably. The judge who took me there to him had told him that I would come there as a student, and he told me that I was not fit enough to be his student because I didn't have a shikha, and I lived a different way of life. Thereafter, after a couple of meetings, I had the great good fortune to have him as my teacher. I remember him today, great reverence and gratitude. I have no doubt in my mind, not the least, that the great privilege of being in the company of all of you, to offer my prostrations before His Holiness and to the Acharya is an account of his blessings. He was Haridas Ratnam Gopal Das. He came to my residence to bless me over 100 times to teach me some of these basic principles of Dvaita philosophy. It was difficult to understand these people. Today, I recall the profundity of his association. He asked me to get by road the 16 cantos of Sumath Vijaya. That was at a stage when I was a judge of the High Court. My little knowledge of Sanskrit had broken down. And in order to please him, not so much that I developed an instant attraction to it, but in order to please him and make him feel that I didn't let him down, I got the entire thing by rote. And on one occasion, he had a group of scholars assemble and asked me to recite the whole thing. They all gave me perhaps pass marks, 35% perhaps. But nevertheless, he gave me 108 rupees as a puraskar. I have kept those coins with me still today. The point I wish to make today to all of you is that I have heard some of the most profound statements of our contemporary predicament in this country, particularly those seekers who want to explore the dimensions of human personality, the spiritual aspect of human life. You heard Mr. Parsarthi, whose diction and delivery and deportment and his torrential capacity for expression I have admired. We've also heard Acharya. I think there are some of the most relevant issues that the Acharya has raised today. Ladies and gentlemen, 10 years from now, whether we like it or not, the whole world, including our country, will so much change. Our lifestyles will change. Our mental picture of the world will change, what we call the world picture, that will change. Lifestyles will change. The profundity of the change is impossible to imagine, because they will have no comparison whatever with the conditions of life today. They have already created 2 artificial animals from a piece of tissue of one animal. They have created another animal. The first was a sheep called Dolly. Now they have cloned a dog. The profound issues that arise in philosophical terms is, where do they get their souls from? These dummies, are they some kind of Frankenstein? Some unreal things which are not really live at all? Or illusions? What kind of... Now we are close to bringing a human being, not produced by sexual union of the male and the female, but by just a piece of tissue of one of them. And what answers can we give to these profound developments? As Acharya very relevantly, if I may say so with utmost respect, most relevantly said is that we are witnessing an age of irreverence. Whenever we talk of these ancient values, spiritual values, there is an air of disdain and derisive indifference towards it. Scholars are unable to convince people about the utilitarian aspect of pursuit of philosophy generally, and particularly the Madhva philosophy, the Dvaita school. Lord Buddha, in one of his magnificent compositions called the Dhammapada, there is a small chapter called the Pushpavagga there. He speaks of how fragrance from the flowers of a tree, however strong it might be, cannot resist the force of the wind coming from the opposite side. It can't penetrate through a wind that comes, blows from the opposite side. But he says, the meritorious acts of great men can penetrate through anything. And he says, as long as their meritorious acts of charity are remembered by people, that man will be in heaven. That being will be in heaven. We have some similar allusion in one of our minor Upanishads. Perhaps in one of the texts they say, a tree, some pushpitasya, they say the tree is full of beautiful flowers. Even as the wafting fragrance of that travels far and wide, the deeds of meritorious men, meritorious deeds, carry their fragrance far and wide. And one thing that one must take care of is, you must avoid vice. Those who seek the path of righteous living, spiritual living, must avoid vice. They make a comparison. An obvious vice which people see you practicing will attract public condemnation. The secret vices that one thus screened away from the gaze of the public is more harmful. They compare it with a dark pit. You can cross it only on the blades of a sharp knife. You must walk across it. Either you hurt your feet or you fall into the pit. And this, so sweetly mentioned, I think it is in the Mahanarayana Upanishad, there is the allusion to this, in which he says, well, ultimately, you have to live a righteous life. A righteous life, innocent life. As Acharya pointed out, living with the family is an obligation. Creating wealth for society, for yourself, your family, so that your own dependents and students are not exposed to humiliation is your duty. Creation of wealth, a householder, if he doesn't create wealth and protect his family, is a sinner. He has to work, but pursuit of wealth, pursuit of fame, pursuit of status, pursuit of authority are not to be done as ends in themselves. Pursuit of wealth as an end in itself, possession of money, wealth, worldly acquisitions for their own sake is sin, but their acquisition for the sake of happiness is